I want to welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission's teleconference informational webinar on the Commission's review of the tax recommendations on the 2021 model I-code updates. First thing is I just want to remind us about working in the virtual world, please keep your device, whether it's a phone or a laptop, on mute. If you're on a phone, please do not put yourself on hold. Please wait until you're invited to speak. There'll be opportunities for questions, et cetera. I'll stack names and call on everybody in turn. Please speak, state your name and your representation when you speak. And those are the primary, you know, basic rules of our operation. So I think the plan is I was going to do a little overview of the process of how the commission will review these. Then turn it to Mo, and then Mo has a variety of informational pieces and to show you kind of organizationally and structurally where the documents are, how they work, et cetera. Mo, is there anything else specifically that you want to say at this point before we get started?
No, that's good. No, that's okay. Go ahead, Jim.
Great, thanks. So if you allow me to share the screen, Mr. Hammers.
Have you got it?
I'm not sure. Let's see.
Not coming through.
No, I don't see anything. Nothing came up. Maybe try it one more time.
All right. Hang on. So on my side is you being the presenter.
Yeah, it's telling me to open system preferences for some reason. I'm not sure what. Let me look real quick.
There should be four little buttons down at the bottom of your showing where all the people are, the attendees. There should be a little deal up there with a mic, camera, screen, and leave.
Yeah, let's see. It says I'm a presenter. I just don't know why I can't
share your screen.
Yeah, it's not giving me a share screen. Let me try this one. Nope.
Hey, Jeff, do you want me to put it on? I have it if you want me to project it.
Sure, go ahead. No, I don't know why I've done this before, you know.
Jim, can you make me the presenter?
Yes, give me just a second, Mo.
Tell you what, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. It's not really that important. Mo, you can be ready for the documents
yeah,
you need to show.
Yeah, I'm going to proposed code modification the document is it's on the screen, Jeff.
Great, thanks, Mo. All right, so basically, most of you are familiar with this process, but in general, the tax has made recommendations, as you know, on various proposed I-code changes. And those recommendations are organized in three ways. First, will be done by each tax. So for each tax, this process will be the same. So we're not going to ask folks to try to do all 11 tacks at once. We'll start with each tax, starting with accessibility. We'll take their consent agendas recommended for denial. In a minute, I'll go into the process where if folks did ask to have modifications pulled for individual consideration, we'll talk more about this, but they need to be submitted by November 19th. And then the commission will decide at the meeting which ones, if any, or all to pull for individual consideration. So, at any rate, there is an organization of consent agendas for denial, and that's the tax recommendations that those particular set of I-code changes be denied. And then there's a consent agenda recommended for approval, which is the tax recommendations for those specific set of 2021 I-code amendments that they were recommending the commission approve. And then there's individual consideration. There's those that the TAC has a recommendation either for approval or denial but they felt that the commission should individually consider it for any number of reasons. There aren't a lot of those, but there are some. So those the commission will consider individually. So at the beginning of the meeting, the commission will determine whether to pull based on the list that was submitted by November 19th, specific ICO changes off specific consent agendas for either denial or approval. They'll make their decision on that, and then we'll go through the process. We'll ask if there's any public comment on the consent agenda, and then we'll ask the commission to move to approve the consent agenda either as it was originally presented or as modified if they pulled any off for individual consideration. So in essence, what the commission is being asked to do is, or what the commission will be doing at the meeting is saying that the consent agenda for denial, commissioners will be asked to pull off any update that would prevent them from voting to approve this particular consent agenda. And then the motion they would make would be to approve the consent agenda for denial and deny all the model code updates on the consent agenda. Same with the consent agenda for approval, that would be next. Commissioners should pull off any that would prevent them from voting in favor of the consent agenda, and their motion would be to approve the consent agenda for approval and approve all the model code updates that are on that consent agenda. And then those pulled for individual consideration, just like the tax did, the commission will have to act on each one. They'll either make a motion to approve or a motion to deny. If it achieves a 75% or greater favorable vote, then it's deemed approved. If it's not, it's denied. And if no one makes a second, then it's also the action is denied. So that's the basic format of the organization. And you know, it'll be obvious that Mo will organize all those requested for individual consideration by tax, and then at the meeting the commission will decide, and then we'll approve each of those two consent agendas. The rest will be done individually, and we'll do the same process for each TAC individually. So for each TAC, we'll have a consent agenda for approval, denial, and individual consideration. We'll move to the next TAC, so it's much easier to follow along with the tracking chart, et cetera, just like we did with the TACs. So that's sort of the organizational part of it. Now, as far as the process goes, I will introduce when we're dealing with individual ones after we deal with the consent agendas. I'll introduce the amendment modification by number, ask if there's any public comment. We'll do our normal process of pros and cons. 3 minutes each will be allowed. Commissioners, of course, are free to ask clarifications of the public at any time, and that, of course, does not count against an individual's time. But 3 minutes to make your comment. We are not taking rebuttals in this phase. You'll have pros and cons. We'll go to the commission. The commission will then make a motion to approve or deny, discuss it, and then vote on it. Again, you're invited to speak on any of these that you feel is appropriate. We are encouraging people to, as we've done in the past, to, show a thumbs for support or opposition. I'll sort of summarize the stakeholder group so that the commission has a sense of the public's perspective on any given modification. And really, that's really the process without the need to go into a lot of detail. Again, the commission operates on the 75% level, so it requires 75%. Does anybody have any questions on the process that the commission will use on the December 14th and possibly December 15th meeting? And I'm betting we'll actually finish it the first day, but at any rate, it's scheduled for 2 days, so you should be prepared for that eventuality. Anybody have any questions?
Jeff, this is Jamie.
Hey, Jamie, go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Just real quick, on the deadline that's set for November 19th to have all of the requested items to pull, because of that deadline, is the intent to post some kind of list of all of those that are recommended for pulling, or is that only going to be for staff and the commission?
No, Mo, if you want to speak to him, Mo will definitely put a list out. Go ahead, Mo.
Yeah, I think really the reason for that is to be able to incorporate those one that to be pulled off the consent agenda on the commission agenda. They will be part of the tracking chart and the detail report. So to allow the generation of these reports and all that, and have it available to the interested group for review. Yes, we ask for those to be given by the 19th. And I'll show you shortly about how this the structure of the tracking charts are being put together to provide the commission with the consent agenda along with those ones that pulled for individual consideration or pulled by interested group.
So Jamie, yes, everybody will have a chance to see those in advance. That way everybody's kind of prepared, and then the commission's also prepared, and at the meeting can effectively and efficiently go through it, and staff will be ready to make the adjustments as needed on our consent agendas.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. Are there any other questions about the commission's process, how the commission will operate at the meeting? Okay, great. Then Mo, I'm going to turn it over to you.
All right, guys. So I'm gonna really. Do you know how to get to where I am now, or you want me to go back and start from zero? So if you just let's go from our website. If you are on really use the link, that'll take you to our website or take you to the chart. So if you're on our website, you just click on. A proposed code modification, as you see in the cursor here, that will take you to a small menu called proposed code modification menu. And then under general user, we're going to click on code development and hot topics. And then we go to the 8th edition 2023, code mod page. Is everybody okay? Are you in where I am, or you need me to slow down, or let me know? All right, so that means everybody is good. Now I'm going to scroll down. This here, what you see is, as is stated in the title of this metrics, it says Code Review 2021 Changes to the International Code September-October 2021 Post-TAC Meetings. These tracking charts here by TAC, it'll give you the actions of the TACs by TAC. So if I go to the accessibility TAC, you will see that you will have the tracking charts as was reviewed at the TAC meetings with the action of the the tax recorded. As you see, there's a marking here, and there is some notes as given at the TAC meeting. So there is some summary of why certain things were approved, why certain things maybe disapproved, etc. So this is really a good document to use to be able to really if you want to go back to the minutes of the what went on at the TAC meeting. So I'm gonna now go into the metrics that's above that, which really this is the metrics to provide for the agenda for the commission meetings. So this has in it the tracking chart and the detailed report that will be reviewed by the commission. As of today, so some of these tracking charts or detailed report may be changed minorly based on if somebody have requested a certain mod to be pulled off the consent agenda. So far, we have only one individual who asked for a code change to be pulled off the consent agenda, which is under the mechanical attack. But we will keep you posted. I think after the 19th, we'll make sure if there's any update, we'll let you know. I'm hoping that not so many people will ask for things to be pulled off the consent agenda. But at least you have, at this point, everything that we have to date. With regard to the let's go for in terms of the structure of the tracking charts and the DJ report, the structure is the same. You know, the tracking charts mainly give you a summary of the code changes and the numbering and everything. The detail report give you the history. So if I go to the code admin tag, if I click on the tracking chart, and that's what we will have at the commission meeting for review, that the tracking chart are structured the way that Jeff was explaining, is that the tracking chart is structured where the commission can take up the code changes under consent. As you see at the tracking chart, it starts with code admin, and it says, it gives you that there is a total of 53 code changes in this tracking chart. It tells you that with regard to the approval as submitted, under consent are 14 of those. So the first few pages compiled mainly of this tracking chart is the 14 code changes which the approval as submitted. So if you, and you see, you know, they all kind of compile together where the commission can take them all together under consent. And as you scroll down, you will see then, like on page, in this case, on page 7, you will see that now the tracking chart gives us all the code changes that is recommended for denial by the TAC under consent, which is there is 39, it gives you the count, which is 39 of those. And as you see, they all combine together after each other. So that's really the, in terms of the tracking chart for the code admin. So you have either, you have some that's really approved as submitted, and the remaining is approved as for denial. And that's really will be, the whole thing will be taken under consent in this case by TAC, as Jeff explained. So that's for the code admin. The other one I want to go over is the in terms of the detail report. By the way, is the structure similar to the tracking chart? So in terms of the how it's really the code changes were compiled together and everything is similar to the to the tracking chart. So it's give you the count first, 53 code changes. It'll give you that there's 14 approvals submitted. They all together, the approvals submitted first, and then you approved as, and then the one recommended for denial, and, which is the 39. So so the details are in the detail reports, and the tracking chart is the summary. So, in terms of the one that I want, what happened here? Did I close it? Yeah, I closed it. Let's see. Here's a. I'm gonna go out again. Open it. All right. Proposed code modification. Okay. So the structural tag, for example, and I'm gonna go to the tracking chart. The structural tag has another layer of code changes, which is really pulled off consent, and I'm gonna show. So there is about 307 code changes, as you see, total code changes for this structural tag. 138 of those are approved as submitted, so I will be to be taken under consent, except if any of these were pulled under from the consent agenda. So I'm gonna go into now the control F. I'm gonna go to the those one that approves as denied, was in this case 89, 63, 63. So as you see, there is also on the tracking chart after the recommended for approval, this dose one is recommended for denial under consent. There's a total of 163. So they all kind of compile together. And then as you go down in this tracking chart, if you go to the bottom, you're going to see that we have a list which is titled TAC Recommended Pulled of Consent by Staff. Those are really the one that staff pulled off consent is those code changes that were reviewed by more than one TAC and where the actions of the TAC differ. So in this case, for 9674, the primary TAC for this one was structural. The structural approved it as submitted. However, the secondary TAC, which is the special occupancy, recommended for denial. So in this case, staff would, you know, ask the commission to make determination in terms of which way to go. Normally, you know, based on previous processes, we recommended the commission go with the primary TAC action. But that's the commission, you know, could go the different way, could go with the secondary, TAC action. But this is here, mainly we pulled all those code changes that's really taken by more than one TAC and which has a different action. And those are pulled by staff, so you see them, they're always going to be in the bottom. So that means they'll, you know, assuming the commission want to take them individually, so they'll be available in the bottom of the tracking charts. So that's one structure. The other one is mechanical TAC is the only one who has so far where a code change is pulled by an interest in the party. So if you, as you see here, there's 97 code changes in this tracking chart for mechanical. 70 of them are, you know, mainly recommended for approval. And if you go into the bottom, you will see that we have a group called pulled of consent by interested entity. And this case is 9452. This was approved by the submitted by the TAC. However, we have an individual who requested to be pulled of consent by for consideration by the commission. Now, in this case, I guess Jeff will ask the TAC, you know, the chair of the TAC or the commission whether they want to pull it off consent or not. So this is mainly will be up to the commission whether they want to pull it off consent or not. If the commission decide not to pull it off consent, then, the action would be, in this case, approved as submitted if that's what the commission want to do, which is as approved by the TAC. So this is the structure that we have for the tracking chart that will be taken by, reviewed by the commission on December 14th. Any question about the tracking chart, the structure of it? And that's what, you know, the reason why we want you to submit those code changes that you would like to pull off consent for consideration by the commission individually, that you do it by the 19th. That would allow us to really revise these, reports and make sure that they're, accurate and all that. So it's a lot of work goes into trying to generate these reports and make them, available to everybody before the commission meeting. Any question about the tracking chart, the metrics?
Hey Mo, this is Rob Sterling. I'm the one person who is asked to pull something off consent. I think this question maybe is appropriate here because I've since been in contact with ASHRAE, who has contacted the ICC who has stated that they're going to acknowledge the issue I had with that particular change as errata. And so how does that affect the process?
They're going to do it, consider it as an errata, you mean ICC?
Yes, in the 2021 version of the code.
I think what you need to do is really, at this point, since really this is a code change that is part of the 2021 I-code changes, it's before the commission. I think really, coming to the meeting, provide your comments, and provide, whatever you have heard from ICC to the commission, and it's up to the commission what to do at this point. But really, this issue is before the commission. If the ICC want to issue an errata, that's really ICC process, it's not the commission process. But I think you being there, providing your comments and everything, that's up to the commission in terms of what to do in this case.
So, Mo, let me respond to that as well. So, your name, I'm sorry, you were
Rob.
Rob, yes, I thought. Okay, Rob. So, in this particular stage of the process, which is the I-code changes, the commission will either approve or deny them exactly as they're drafted. They won't make any changes to it. So, if it's your thought that it should be denied, then you'll make that case to the commission. And then, if the RAT is done, that could be submitted as a code change next year when we start our triennial update. This is just the first phase of our process. I-code changes, and then everything's up for reconsideration or consideration for in our triennial code update process, which starts in January, right after we do this meeting. So the commission will either decide to approve it or deny it. You can make your case why they should deny it at this point, pending some changes that the ICC is probably going to make, and then somebody can submit it in the next phase. That would be the best approach.
Okay.
Any question?
Hey, Tom again in Yuma County. You briefly showed us, but it's a great tool. So both with the tracking chart and the detailed report, that Control F, you can search for the numbers, names, words. That's really helpful for everybody.
Good. Anytime you want to search, it's a document, so you can search like you do with Word document and all that. Yeah, Control F and put the number, or sure, that'll help. That's a good search mechanism, right?
And we always remind folks of that during the meetings as well. And we'll do that at the commission meeting.
Any questions so far? I'm gonna go over the first of all the work plan very quickly. For the process putting together the 2023, Florida Building Code. As you see, we have completed a number of tasks. The selection of the model code, the review of the model code changes. We are almost finished with the review. The TAC and have taken those I-code changes and provided recommendation. As discussed earlier, and really the next step would be to mainly we are waiting for anybody who wanna pull any of these code changes from consent for individual consideration, which is, as I said, the deadline is 11/19/2021. Then the commission will take up the tax recommendation December 14/15. There is a strong possibility, which is probably 99%, that the commission will finish their work by the 14th. I think if from what I see, there is not so many really code changes is being asked to be pulled off consent agenda. So the agenda could go very quickly, and since the commission can take a lot of these code changes under consent, so it's possible that we'll finish strongly by the 14th. After the go ahead.
This is Rick Logan, AIA Florida. I just have a quick question. Well, the last code cycle, when we went through this process, all we had to do was send you an email listing which code mods we wanted to have pulled for individual consideration. Do we need to provide justification? Or just...
No.
No.
No, just only give me the list, whatever you want. I think, you know, whoever want to pull any of these need to come to the meeting to really provide their comments or why. But at this point, we're trying just to make compile the list and incorporate it into the tracking chart. No comment. No, there's no requirement that you have to provide comments or justification.
All right. Thanks, Mo.
Mr. Logan, this is Justin Vogel, though. I would chime in that you're not required to provide any justification, but it is up to the discretion of the commissioners whether or not they will be pulling these modifications off of the list. So it may be in your benefit or to your benefit to provide a justification, especially if you wouldn't be there, just so they know why you want to have it off.
Okay. Thank you, Justin.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. In general, the commission's posture is to go with the tax recommendations and not to pull off a lot for individual consideration unless there's, especially in this phase, since there's another shot at it coming up in phase two, but especially in this phase, unless there was a good reason. So I think Justin's comment is well spoken.
So after the commission meeting, the 14th, staff will come back here and put together or actually update the system and, you know, with the commission recommendation, and also we will post the minutes from the commission meeting on our website. That really would complete phase one or step one of the process. Then come January of next year, we start step two of the process, which starts with, mainly opening the cycle for anybody to submit a code change on the those iCode changes that are approved by the commission, or you know, bring in any of those ones that's approved as, you know, for consideration with, you know, kind of modification or improvement if they want to, and also comments on the foundation code, which is the 7th edition 2020. The deadline for that or the cycle is February 15th. So you have from January 4th to February 15th to submit a code change. And after that, staff compile the code changes, and then all these code changes submitted will be subject to a 45-day comment period by general public, which is the deadline, which is really the 45-day will be expire in 4/18, and then after that, based on the public comments and code changes submitted, staff then put together a tracking chart and detailed report, as you see, and then ultimately those tracking charts and reports will be reviewed and by the TAC in June for the TAC to provide their recommendation. So in June 2022, the TACs will provide their recommendation on the code changes. And then after that, as you see, there is a second 45 days, mainly to allow the opportunity for comments on the tax recommendation. And then after that, as we go through the process, the commission ultimately take those code changes and the tax recommendation in December. As you see, we have projection be December 13 and 14, 2022. And then the plan is to mainly put together a supplement for all the approved code changes through this process by January 2023, and then we'll go through the workshop, and I projected that we have mainly an integrated first draft
of the 8th edition 2023 by May 22nd. That's if everything goes all right as planned, and then ultimately this code will go into effect in December 31st, 2023. That's really the work plan. Any question on the work plan, by the way?
This is Rob again. Does the, like, let's say, you know, you go up to the podium, you advocate for your position on a particular change, is the vote known at that time, or, you know, during that meeting, or do we have to wait until the 19th of January to find out what the committee's decision was?
No, you will know the TAC actions 2 weeks or so before the after the TAC meeting. You will know the commission actions about 2 weeks or so from the commission action. No, you will know these actions in a timely manner.
Well, let me respond to that. So I think what you're asking is the commission will vote that day, you know, on the issues, and you will know right then that day at the meeting whether they approved it or denied it.
Okay.
If he is at the meeting, otherwise we'll, you know, wait for us to publish the information.
Right. Or if you're watching it virtually, right?
I actually asked a question, Mo, a couple weeks ago, but I wasn't sure the answer. Is there a way to speak virtually, or do you have to be present?
You have to be present.
Okay.
Schiffer has a question.
Go ahead, Brad.
Okay, Mo, one thing a little concerned about, stage two starts about 2 weeks after we finish up the December meetings. Do you have a format for how you want things submitted for stage two? I mean, we're going to, you know, come off the line in the beginning of the year. That's when anybody that has a concern about an overlap is going to bring it in. So what kind of a format are requests going to be made for stage two changes?
Well, you know, that's not different from what we have done through the prior code changes process. We have an online system which allow anybody to come in. Submit the code change. There is a text of mod that need to be uploaded. There is a number of questions that to be answered. Similar to the normal process that we have for the coaching. So it has to be really an individual has to come into the system and submit the code change online.
Okay. So, for example, overlaps, it's not like you can mend the problem that you had with the overlap. You have to start with a clean sheet of paper and make a new code change.
Well, the code changes are already in the system. Like, for example, you know, if there is an overlap code change you're interested in, you can go into our system, copy it, improve on it, and paste it on the text of mod for the code change that you submitted. So, the text of mods are already exist in the system in Word format. So it should be easy for somebody to just copy it, improve on it, and then paste it into the system for the second phase process.
Do you think you'll be having, during the holiday period there, a seminar kind of like this to show people how to do the code 2 changes?
Sure. I'm always here. So anybody who would have a question, we could do a... It probably will do some of these chats, you know, to show how to go about doing this. So yeah, sure. Our system, the code modification system, has a lot of information that it could be useful for anybody who's planning to submit a code change, especially when we have uploaded all the iCode changes into the system. So it'll be easy to really go in, find the code change, and take the text you need and improve on it and submit it.
Okay, good. All right. Thanks, Dan.
Okay.
Hey, Mo, Scott McGavin. Hey, building off of Brad's comment, would it be helpful when we do phase two
to include where we copy and paste the original mod, and then you guys are going to give it a new mod number?
Well, actually, under phase two, it's going to give you a new mod number. You're starting with a text. Whether it doesn't matter where you get the text, whether if it's an iCode change or what have you, you're gonna upload it into the system, into a text of mod, and after that, when you submit it, they'll give you a new number. Now, if you want to provide information about, background information, whether you want to provide where this code change came from or what have you, there is room for rationale for uploading text. Documentation and all that. So, yeah, it's more of a, but you're starting as a new mod.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Schiffer again, real quick for Mo. Mo, maybe you could give us a Christmas present by having a webinar, before the holidays. So some of us are going to work on it at time. It's going to start 2 weeks after we end the Gainesville meeting.
Well, actually, I'll do a chat just to really after the commission meeting, after we upload everything into our website, and we'll go over it. And I'm hoping I will have we'll be able to answer any questions about step two or phase two and how to go about. Or maybe we'll have an example how you can do certain things. No problem. We'll take care of that. No problem.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Any questions? All right, Jeff. Now I'm going to... Go ahead.
This is Jamie. Just to expand a little bit on Schiffer's comment, I think it's important because the system right now, since it's not open, we're not able to use templates from the system as to what questions need to be answered and such. I think it would be very beneficial to have a chat to that effect. So,
sure.
Old timers and newcomers to the system.
No problem. I'm sure we'll do. If you need more, we'll do it. Sure. No doubt. We'll do that. You're welcome, Bill. Any other questions? Okay, now I'm going to close this one. Let's see. And then I'm going to go into... one thing I want to show you is this here code mods that was taken by more than one tag. So if you want to know what happens to those... They're all compiled here with different actions, with the action of the tags. So the one that really where there is a different action is already really included in the tracking charts as being pulled from consent by staff. Otherwise, for those ones that have the same action from all the tags, they're, you will see them here. So if you want to see those, it's available from these documents. It's on the website. So you're welcome to download it. The other thing I want to go over is I'm going to go back to the system, and I'm going to show, this system is very good in terms of if you want to search or look for certain things. So, as we said, if you're looking for, by tag, you can go for, let's say, for example, mechanical tag. If you want to go and find those code changes that recommended by the mechanical tag for approval. So approved as submitted under consent. You can select that, and then you can search. It'll give you all the code changes that approved and recommended by the tag for approval as submitted. Same thing you can do for those ones that's really recommended for denied. So you can search for that and easily for any of the tags. So you can do that for those one that denied under consent. So you can search for those, any of the tags. So the other thing you can do here also as we update the system is say, for example, for the mechanical tag, there, if you want to know if there is for any of the attack, if anybody have asked that certain mod be pulled of consent, you can go into here. You have the option says pulled of consent by interested entity or pulled consent by staff. So if by interested party, you can search for that and it'll come up. Also, if you, for example, you want to know which mod that really staff has pulled off consent, so that you don't, you know, so you don't need to really duplicate the, you can go to the TAC action, go to pulled off consent by staff, and search. This will give you all those ones that staff pulled off consent. You know, for consideration by the commission individually. And also, if you want to know which one, as we go, as we approach the 19th, if you want to know, you know, which code mod was pulled off consent by an interested entity, you can just select the action as pulled off consent by and search for it, and it'll come up. So, you know, this is a good tool if you wanted to just really know where things are. However, you know, after the 19th, we'll have the tracking chart detail report updated, and I'll probably we'll have another chat after that to say, hey, you know, everything now is good. We, you know, here's what we have, and so we'll give you time to be ready for the meeting, you know, in December. Any question about the system, the tracking charts, you know, the work plan, you're welcome to ask, or if you remember to ask,
John
you can
Weisman,
call me.
Two questions.
Yes, sir.
Hello, John Weisman, just two questions. The simple one first. That is, on the work plan, I was looking to see if there was an indication of what steps were part of phase one and what steps were part of phase two, and I'm not sure I found that. So if it's possible to update the work plan to indicate what's part of phase one and what's phase two, that would be helpful.
Sure, I'll look at it. No problem. I will do that, sure.
But just to make it real simple, basically starting January 1st of 2022, it starts phase two more or less. Just for the quick answer.
Yeah, I can put mainly a flag within the metrics within the, you know, for that. So sure, we'll flag it.
Yeah, this is John. That was my assumption based on the context of the previous emails I had with you, Mo. So, but thought it might be helpful for others because I know you're talking about phase one and phase two, and I didn't see it on the work plan, so that would be helpful.
No,
then the other one that we emailed. The other question that we emailed about may be worthwhile mentioning, and that is, can you discuss on those mods where staff has identified them as overlap, and what would be the qualifications, or why would a mod be classified as overlap, and then when is it appropriate to provide suggested further course of action regarding those mods staff has identified as overlap, which have been denied by the TAC?
Yeah, I think really, I think in terms of why certain things were labeled or classified by staff as overlap, I think the key to it is that when we looked at those ICO changes, we found that the text of mod, the original text of mod that used to make up the code change at the ICO level does not match the text in the foundation code, the 2020 code. So because the text doesn't match, we felt at that point that taking a text that don't, you know, a mod that amended using a text that doesn't match the foundation code, that could create a problem or conflict, and also that leave the fixing the problems to the staff, which has become difficult. So we said, okay, if the text, the original text of these mods at the ICO level doesn't match what's in the foundation code, we declare it as overlap. So, and we say
said, okay, well, you know, we still have phase two, so anybody can take any of those overlap code changes, review it against the foundation code, the 2020 code, fix it, make it correlate very well to the 2020 code, and submit it under under phase two for consideration by the TAC. Sure.
Just to follow up with that, so really at this point to discuss or revise whether it's an overlap or not an overlap, that's it's too late for that. We're past that point. So the commission's going to take up the tax recommendations and pros and cons, but, you know, as most of the TAC members and those that participate in the process were aware that those who that were overlaps will, stakeholders are free to propose those, as Mo described in phase two, will there be a long deliberative ability to review and refine as needed, but in this phase it's as is or not, and it's past the point where determining whether it's an overlap or not an overlap is really up for discussion.
Thanks much.
Sure.
Any question, guys? Any question about everything we have talked about?
Hey, Mo, just a logistics question. You mentioned that it might be a one-day meeting. So does the hotel know that there might be some people that are reserving rooms for two or three nights, that if we cancel, is there any arrangement not to have a penalty?
Let's ask Tom that question. Tom?
We cannot make that kind of arrangement. Our contract does not allow for it. It is our current plan that will be coming in the night before, and it'll be up to you to decide if you're going to stay that night in, or that would go on to the second day. So I don't know how we get up to three nights. It would be a possibility of two. And as far as we're concerned, it'll likely take quite a while to get through those. It'll be in the afternoon when we get done on that first day, so it'll be up to folks if they want to stay that night or not.
Thanks, Tom.
Yep.
If it helps any, I'm planning on staying that night. Go ahead, Moser. What's next on the...
Yeah, and that's all. That's all what I have for you guys. And again, thank you for taking the time to be with us this afternoon. And again, if you still have any questions, give me a call or give us a call, and we'll try to help you. No problem. But thank you. Have a nice weekend, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mo.